Today we have the privilege of studying Divrei Hayamim, Perek Lamed Bet, the 32nd chapter of 2 Chronicles. This chapter narrates the arrival of Sancheriv to fight against Chizkiyahu, and it is a fascinating climax to the book as a whole, and to the portrayal of Chizkiyahu in particular. The story of what happened when Sancheriv came to fight against Yehuda in 701 BCE is well known. It is recorded in Sefer Melachim in two versions. It is recorded in the Assyrian annals. It is recorded in the Assyrian art. The rough summary of what transpired runs along the following lines. Yehuda for many years paid tribute to Assyria. In 705, the king of Assyria, Sargon II, died. Immediately after his death, the Assyrian empire went into a short period of decline. This ended when Sancheriv seized the throne of Assyria and began to restore the Assyrian empire. During the period of the Assyrian empire's decline, many kingdoms, including Yehuda, had ceased to pay tribute, and Sancheriv in 701 began a campaign to restore Assyrian domination of many kingdoms, including Yehuda. He arrived on the coast of the Mediterranean in 701, fought against the kingdom of the kings of Ashkelon, who controlled the area which is now Tel Aviv, moved southward towards the kings, other kings in the area that's now Philistia, the area of Aza, and so on, moved from there northwards to Lachish, and from Lachish came to threaten Yerushalayim. Although he conquered Lachish and many other cities in Yehuda, he did not conquer Yerushalayim. Chizkiyahu paid him a certain level of tribute. Melachim records that a plague befell him. He thereupon returned to Assyria, satisfied that he had restored Yehuda's role as a tribute-paying kingdom, and that he had conquered Lachish and glorified himself with his conquest of Lachish in artwork and in narrative. That's what happened. Sefer Melachim and Sefer Yeshayahu record a very specific interpretation of those events, in which the stand of Yehuda against Chizkiyahu is portrayed as a sort of epic struggle for domination, in which if Yerushalayim will not fall to Sancheriv, and Yerushalayim will stand with Chizkiyahu and refuse to acknowledge Sancheriv as the sovereign of Yehuda, then Yerushalayim, by standing and by not being conquered, will demonstrate the idea of divine sovereignty in the world. In Sefer Yeshayahu, take it over into Sefer Melachim, Sefer Yeshayahu chapters 36-37, which you can listen to on the OU Nach Yomi tape as well. In Sefer Yeshayahu chapters 36-37, the stand of Yerushalayim against Sancheriv is interpreted as meaning that Yerushalayim stands with God, and the battle is not just a battle for conquest of Yerushalayim, it's a battle for sovereignty in the world. Will God be shown to be the universal sovereign by Yerushalayim standing tall, or will Sancheriv be shown to be the universal sovereign by Yerushalayim falling to Sancheriv? The take in Divrei Hayamim is very, very different. Divrei Hayamim sees these events essentially as a litmus test, not for divine sovereignty in the universe, not for Chizkiyahu's heroism, but for the heroism of the average person in Yehuda. Will the average person in Yehuda stand with Sancheriv, or will he stand with Chizkiyahu? Will the average person in Yehuda fight for Sancheriv or fight for Chizkiyahu? Will the average person of Yehuda stay loyal to Chizkiyahu despite all of the difficulties? And there is an intentional development here where previous three chapters, 29, 30, 31, have all built on this idea of Chizkiyahu developing popular support. Now, chapter 32 narrates how Chizkiyahu finally builds that popular support and transforms it into a development in which Chizkiyahu shows that he has the popular support, people of Yehuda support him, and they are willing to stand with him against Sancheriv. The chapter can be divided into three sections. The first eight verses are the exhortation of Chizkiyahu to the people. The next 14-15 verses are the narrative of how the people did in fact stand with Chizkiyahu, how the people stood with Chizkiyahu and refused to go over to the Sanherib side. And the last several verses of the chapter, from verse 24 to verse 33, are the narrative of the end of Chizkiyahu's life. Let's look at the first section now, Chizkiyahu's exhortation to the people. Perek Lamed Bet, Pasuk Aleph. Acharei ha-devarim v'ha-emet ha-eile, ba-sancheriv melech Ashur, v'yavo v'yehuda, v'yichan al ha-arim ha-bitzurot, v'yomer levik'am elav. After these matters and this truth, Sancheriv, the king of Ashur, came to Yehuda, camped upon the fortified cities, and tried to cause them to turn over themselves over to him. In other words, noticeably and importantly, the emphasis here is not on the conquest of the cities, but on the demand of the cities surrender to him. It's the demand for surrender that here typifies the battle of Sancheriv against Yehuda. Pasuk bet vayar Yechizkiyahu kiva Sancheriv ufanav lamilchama al Yerushalayim. Chizkiyahu saw that Sancheriv had come with his face to fight against Jerusalem. Pasuk gimel. Vayivaat im sarav v'giborav listom et meimei ha'ayanot asher mechutz la'ir v'ya'azeruhu. He took counsel with his officers and those who were his soldiers to close off the waters of the springs which were outside the city, and they assisted him. So this is the first major project. Chizkiyahu demands people's help, closing off the water sources so that the Assyrian army, when it comes, will not easily be able to access water. This obviously requires an enormous amount of manpower. Chizkiyahu is able to assist to get that manpower because he's galvanized popular support. People support Chizkiyahu. Pasuk Dalet. Vayekavtzu amrav, vayistemu et kol ma'ayanot, ve'et hanachal hashotef b'toch ha'aretz limor, lama yavo malchei Ashur umatzu ma'im rabim. A great number of people gathered. They closed off the springs as well as the watercourses that ran throughout the land. In other words, the Nachal HaShotef here has to be understood as a general term referring to all the watercourses. And the statement here is Lama Yavo Malchei Ashur Umatzu Mayim Rabim. Why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water? Let us close off the watercourses, turn them into channels that only give water in the cities. Pasuk Hey, and of course this refers to Chizkiyahu's major architectural accomplishment, the building of the Shiloach Tunnel, which is still there today and which you can walk through today, which brings the water into the city of Yerushalayim. Pasuk Hey. Vayit Chazak, vayiven et kol hachoma ha-peruza, vayal al ha-migdalot, velachutza hachoma acheret, vayichazek et hamilo ir David, vayas shelach larov umaginim. He fortified, he built the broken down wall, went up upon the towers, as well as building another wall on the outside. He strengthened the Milo in the city of David, and he provided great number of shields for the defenders. Pasuk Vav. Vayiten sarei milchamot al ha'am, vayikbetzem elav el rechov shar ha'ir, vaydaber al levavam lemor. He placed military officers upon the people. In other words, he drafted the people into a sort of military formation. He encouraged people to come and fight in the army. And he gathered them into the square which was in front of the gate of the city. And he said, spoke to them, saying as follows, Psukim Zayin Chet, the speech that he gives, and the speech is significant. Chizku v'imtzu al tiru v'al teirchatu mipnei melech Ashur, umilifnei kol ha'amon asher imo, ki imanu rav me'imo. Be strong, be brave, do not fear, do not tremble from before the king of Assyria and before all of the multitude which is with him, for that which is with us is greater than that which is with him. In other words, what is with us, what is with him? That's detailed in the next verse, Pasuk Chet. Imozero basar v'imanu Hashem Elokeinu le'ozreinu u'lehilachem milchamotenu v'yisamchu ha'am al divrei Yechizkiyahu melech Yehuda. With him is an arm of flesh, in other words, with him is physical strength, V'imanu Hashem Elokeinu, but with us is the Lord our God who will assist us. The Lord our God will be our ally. That is more strong than anything that's with him. God will fight for us. The people relied on the words of Chizkiyahu, king of Yehuda. The first victory is achieved. Chizkiyahu was able to get the people onto his side. Then, the next 15 verses detail how Sancheriv comes and tries to get the people onto his side. So really, it's a battle for the people here and not a battle for divine sovereignty. Pasuk Tet, Achar zeh shalach Sancheriv melech Ashur avadav Yerushalayma, v'hu al lachish, v'chol memshalto imo, after that, Sancheriv, the king of Assyria, sent his servants to Jerusalem while he was at Lachish with all of his court with him, to Chizkiyahu, king of Judah, and to all of Judah which is in Jerusalem, saying, in other words, the emissaries of Sancheriv are specifically being sent here not just to Chizkiyahu, but also to all of Judah, the populace. Pasuk 10, Ko amar Sancheriv melech Ashur, al ma atem botchim v'yoshvim b'matzor b'Yerushalayim. Thus says Sancheriv, king of Assyria, on what do you rely that you sit in siege in Jerusalem? Pasuk Yud Aleph, Halo Chizkiyahu masit et letchem, latet etchem lamut bara'av uvatzama lemor, Hashem Elokeinu yatzilenu mikaf melech Ashur. Isn't Chizkiyahu inciting you, saying, to give you into the death by starvation and thirst, saying, the Lord our God will save us from the hands of the king of Assyria? In other words, what's Sancheriv's formulation here? Don't rely on Chizkiyahu because you're going to die of starvation in the besieged city. Rather, come over and support the king of Assyria. How can you rely on the Lord your God? Pasuk 12. Halo hu Chizkiyahu hesiret bamotav et mizbechotav vayomer liyuda v'Yerushalayim lemor lifnei mizbayach echad tishtachavu ve'alav taktiru. Isn't he the Hezekiah who has removed the altars and the high places of your God and said to all of Judah and Jerusalem, bow and offer before a single altar? The point here, this is taken over from Malachim and from Yeshayahu. Chizkiyahu ordained centralization of worship. He demanded that the Jews follow the laws established in Sefer Devarim that require that sacrifice take place only in Jerusalem. The king of Assyria sees this as laughable. How can you possibly demand that people sacrifice in a single place? When you sacrifice in a single place, you are limiting the power of the god, because the god then is only in that single place. Whereas if you have lots of sacrifices, the gods have lots of food, they eat better, they're happier, they're more willing to help their people. And so this is a sort of wheels within wheels. Sancheriv is laughing at the Jews for sacrificing at one altar. He's laughing at the Chizkiyahu for forcing the Jews to do this. And Baal Sefer Divrei Hayamim, following Baal Sefer Yeshayahu, is laughing at Sancheriv for thinking that God needs to eat from the altars. Pasuk Yud Gimel Yud Daled, the continuation of Sancheriv's boasts. In Sefer Yeshayahu, we have three different speeches of Sancheriv. Here it's all compacted into a single speech. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Halo Teidu Me'asiti Ani Ve'avotai L'chol Amei Ha'aratzot. Hayachol Yachlu Elohei Goyei Ha'aratzot L'hatzil Et Ha'etza B'yadi. Will you not know what I and my fathers have done to all the nations of the lands? Have the gods of any of the nations of the lands been able to save their lands for me? In other words, I am more powerful than the gods of all the lands. Pasuk 14. Mi bechol Elohei hagoyim ha'ele asher hecherimu avotai asher yachol lehatzil et amo miyadi ki yuchal Eloheichem lehatzil etchem miyadi. Is there any god of any nation that my ancestors have conquered and destroyed, who was able to save his people from my hand, that your God will be able to save you from from my hand? Pasuk 15. Ve'ata yashi etchem ki Chizkiyahu v'al yasit etchem kazot v'al ta'aminu lo ki lo yuchal kol eloha kol goy u'mamlacha lehatzil amo miyadi u'miyad avotai af ki Eloheichem lo yatzilu etchem miyadi. Therefore now, Pasuk 15, as we've seen before, Ata indicates the point. Let Chizkiyahu not entice you, let him not seduce you, saying in this manner, do not trust him, for no god of any nation is able to save his people from my hand and from the hands of my fathers, just so your God is not able to save you from my hand. And that's how much more so, if no god has saved those people from my hand, why would you think your God can do this? So all of Sanherib's speeches here are synopsized or summarized in a single speech, which focuses on the theme of no god saved any nation from my hands, why should your God do that? The speeches continue. There is a mention in Sefer Pasuk Tetzayin, Pasuk 16, that this is not the whole speech, that he continued to speak. In Pasuk 17, the mention is that he also writes documents. He also writes a written message to Chizkiyahu, as we find in Sefer Yeshayahu and in Sefer Melachim. This is a summary of the events in Yeshayahu and in Melachim. Pasuk 17, Yudzayin, Usfarim katav lecharef l'ashem Elokei Yisrael, v'leimor alav leimor, כאלוהי גויי הארצות אשר לא הצילו עמה מידי, כן לא יציל אלוקי יחזקיהו עמו מידי. He wrote letters to denigrate the Lord, the God of Israel, to say about him, saying, he is like the gods of all the nations which did not save their peoples from my hand, so will the God of Hezekiah not save his people from my hand. Furthermore, Pasuk Yudchet, the high point of this speech, is that they speak out to the people. Vayikru'u v'kol gadol yehudit al am Yerushalayim asher al achoma liyara'am ulevahalam leman yilkidu et ha'ir. They spoke in a powerful voice in the Jewish language to the people of Jerusalem who were on the walls to cause them to fear and panic, that they might conquer the city. In other words, the battle really is about, can you get the people who are on the wall to surrender over to your side? While that is mentioned in Sefer Melachim and Sefer Yeshayahu, it becomes the main focus here in Sefer Divrei Hayamim. The address of Sanherib is to the people, and not at all to Chizkiyahu, unlike in Melachim and Yeshayahu, where Sanherib speaks both to the people and to Chizkiyahu. Here he only speaks to the people. As we said from the outset, the battle here is, will the people surrender the city to Sanherib? Pasuk Kaf, verse 20. Vayitpalel Yechizkiyahu HaMelech v'Yishayahu ven Amoz HaNavi alzot v'yizaku hashamayim. The prayer of Hezekiah and of Yishayahu HaNavi is what ultimately turns the tables. Let me translate verse 20. Chizkiyahu the king and Yeshayahu ben Amoz the prophets prayed about this and called out to the heavens. Their prayer to God is what ultimately is the turning point of this narrative. As a result of their prayer, verse 21, Vayishlach Hashem malach vayached kol gibor chayel v'nagid v'sar b'machane melech Ashur v'yashov b'voshet panim la'artzo v'yavo beit Elohav umitzi'eich emeav sham hipiluhu v'charev. God sent an angel. He destroyed every strong warrior and every prince and every officer in the camp of the king of Assyria. The king of Assyria returned in embarrassment to his land. He came into the house of his god there, and his descendants there killed him by the sword, and he died. That is a historical event. Sanherib does return to Assyria. Many years later, he is killed by his own children. Sefer Melachim recounts this event in somewhat greater detail. We do know that the names of the children who killed him, as recorded in the Assyrian records, are somewhat similar to the names recorded in Sefer Melachim, at least in some dialects. And if you look at Pasuk Kaf Bet, we see the summary. Vayosha Hashem et Yechizkiyahu vet Yoshvei Yerushalayim miyad Sanherib melech Ashur miyad kol vayinahalem misaviv. God saved Chizkiyahu and the people of Yerushalayim from the hands of Sanherib, king of Assyria, from the hands of all, and he led them all around. Here the language of Vayosha language of salvation, same language as we find in the Shirat, in Kriyat Yam Suf. God saves Chizkiyahu here. Overall, this is not an episode of in which God's sovereignty is the primary part of the narrative, but it is mentioned. And by God saving Yechizkiyahu, we see the idea that God demonstrates that he is more powerful than any other god. That point is not in doubt in Sefer Divrei Hayamim. No one questions that God is more powerful. But the main point here is by God's will the people of Yerushalayim show that they believe in God's power? Will they refuse to surrender the city? They withstand the test. They don't surrender the city. And of course, God is there to save them. The result of such a divine salvation ought to be human thanks. And in Pasuk 23, we do find human thanks. V'rabim mivi'im mincha l'Hashem v'liyushalayim u'migdanot l'chizkiyahu melech Yehuda v'yinasei l'einei chol agoyim me'achareichen. Many brought gifts to the Lord, to Jerusalem, and presents to Chizkiyahu, the king of Judah, who was heightened in the eyes of all the nations after this. There's a recognition of Chizkiyahu as a local leader. People bring tributes to thank him for his strong stand against Assyria, and to thank God for his salvation. And this, of course, might result in Chizkiyahu was becoming arrogant, and that point is mentioned so repeatedly in Divrei Hayamim, and it appears in Pasuk 24:25. In Pasuk 24, we're told that Chizkiyahu became ill. He prayed to God. A sign was given to him. And at Pasuk 25, V'lo chigmul alav heshiv yichizkiyahu ki gaval libo v'hi alav ketzef v'ayudav Yerushalayim. We're briefly told here that Chizkiyahu did not act in accordance with that which was given to him. In other words, he did not act nicely because God had given him such a great reward of saving the city. Rather, Chizkiyahu became arrogant. Ki gaval libo, we're told. V'hi alav ketzef v'ayudav Yerushalayim. Anger from God was upon him, Judah, and Jerusalem. Then Pasuk 26, immediately, Vaikana Yechizkiyahu begova libo, huv yoshve Yerushalayim, velo ava aleihem ketzef Hashem bimei Yechizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu surrendered from the arrogance of his heart, he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Anger from God did not come upon them in the time of Chizkiyahu. So in other words, there's a brief mention of Chizkiyahu's arrogance, and it immediately is eliminated. The subsequent psukim are really the summary of Chizkiyahu's reign, mentioning how great a king he was, rivaling Shlomo in the wealth that flows into the city in his time and in his dedication to God. Pasuk 27, Vayhi lechizkiyahu osher v'chavod harbe me'od ve'otzarot asalo lechesef ulzahav ule'evin yekara v'liv samim v'lamaginim ulechol klei chemda. Chizkiyahu had much wealth and honor. He made store cities for gold and silver and for the precious stones, for spices, for the shields, and for all desirable vessels. Pasuk 28. Umiskenot litvuat dagan v'tirosh v'itzhar, v'uravot l'chol beima uveima v'adarim la'averot. He made storehouses for the produce consisting of grain, wine, and oils, as well as stables for all types of different types of animals, and flocks for places to house the flocks. Pasuk 29. Ve'arim asalo miknetzono v'kar larov kinatan lo elokim ruchush rav meod. He made cities as when he also had cattle, sheep, and cattle in great numbers, because God gave him a great amount of property. Pasuk 30, the last pasuk we'll go through in detail. V'hu Yechizkiyahu satam et motza meimei Gichon ha'elyon, v'yashrem lemata ma'arava li'ir David, v'yatzlach Yechizkiyahu b'chol ma'aseihu. He, Chizkiyahu, closed the water, the source of the waters of Gichon, the upper source of the waters of Gichon. He straightened them to go downwards on the westward course towards the city of David. Chizkiyahu succeeded in all his actions. Here we have a specific mention of the building of Chizkiyahu's tunnel. Then there is a very brief mention in Pasuk Lamed Aleph of the episode of the emissaries from the king of Babel, which we find in Sefer Yeshayahu Perek Lamed Chet.
And then the concluding verses of Chizkiyahu, where we're told that records of Chizkiyahu are kept by Yishayahu ben Amoz, the prophet. And then in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Vayishkav Yechizkiyahu im Avotav, Vayikberu b'ma'ale kivrei v'nei David, V'chavor asu lo v'moto kol Yehuda v'yoshvei Yerushalayim, Vayimloch Menashe v'notachtav. Chizkiyahu lay with his ancestors. He was buried in the uppermost part of the graves of the sons of David. They honored him in his death, all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And Menashe, his son, reigned in his stead.